Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com. Hey guys, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. This is Julie Douglas, and not with us today is Robert Lamb, who unfortunately is suffering from a really kind of horrendous case of laryngitis. So that is why you do not hear his dulcet tones today. So we thought we would rerun a favorite of ours for you guys. If you haven't heard it before, it is all about Windbreakin'. That's right, farts. The status of flatus is the actual name of this episode, and we hope that you guys enjoy it. But before we get into it and we get into the why and the how of farts, I want to mention that there have always been historically champions of windbreaking. Yes, I am talking about Jonathan Swift, a master of satire and the author of Gulliver's Travels. Well, he wrote an essay titled The Benefit of Farting Explained. This was published in 1722. And in it, he says it is translated into English at the request and for the use of the Lady Dampfart or her Fartshire, by Obadiah Fizzle, groom of the stool to the princess of Ars Mini in Sardinia. There you go. And we also had Benjamin Franklin, who in 1781, when he found out that the Royal Academy at Brussels was requesting a scientific essay and would award prizes for the best papers, he said, hey, here's an essay urging the Academy to discover some drug wholesome and not disagreeable to be mixed with our common food or sauces that shall render the natural discharges of wind from our bodies not only inoffensive, but agreeable as perfumes. All right, folks, I think that's evidence enough that we've been thinking about this topic for a long time and that people have been rethinking it in terms of it being not so bad of a thing. It's pretty natural, right? And according to Dr. Patricia Raymond, she's an assistant professor of clinical and internal medicine at Eastern Virginia Medical School in Norfolk, she says, if you pass gas, in most cases you're eating more healthfully than your friends who aren't passing gas, or at least as much, I suppose. And she says that it should be a badge of honor. So, windbreak on, my friends. Windbreak on.
Julie, what does a fire-breathing dragon have to do with the human digestion system?
A lot, it turns out. In fact, it has a lot to do with gas and belching And you guys know that we promised that we would roll out an episode about flatus, about gas, the toots, farts, you name it.
Yes, we promised. It was like a blood oath to our listeners that we would do a fart episode for
that,
everyone.
That no one asked for, by the way.
No, well, no one ever asked for it.
No.
But it happens. And so here it is, an entire episode devoted to the interesting science of cutting one, as it were.
You say that with a question mark. I think it's fascinating.
No, it's definitely interesting science. I think it comes down to the individual listener. I mean, what is your individual relationship with gas? And are you the type of person who is repelled enough to where no amount of interesting science is really going to make you respect flatus in any way? Or are you already totally on board? And science, the coding of science, can only make flatus all the more exciting.
My feeling is that everybody does it, so everybody should have an interest in it.
Well, everybody does it, but people do it to different degrees. And people do it with varying degrees of pride or disgrace.
Well, as I've shared before, I come from a very scatological family, so mm-hmm. this is a topic that has been plumbed in the family. I'm not scared to talk about it, and I feel like there's lots of really great information here. In particular, this idea of this fire-breathing dragon,
mm-hmm.
and this is fascinating to me. This was in Mary Richards' Gulp. She spoke with a herpetologist, Stephen Secor, who became fixated on the question of why a python or a boa has an unusually large cecum. Okay, so a cecum is like this little digestive pouch. It's near the colon.
Mm-hmm.
And normally you see it in plant-eating animals. And so he became obsessed with it. Why does a python have this? So he tried to figure out the role of the cecum, whether or not it was just there to break down the plant material in the animal that the python had just ingested. And he began to actually measure the amount of hydrogen coming out of a python, what it was exhaling after it was given a bunch of rats to eat. Okay, so he did that with something called a chromatograph, and that measured the amount of hydrogen. All right. What he actually found out, though, was that the amount of hydrogen that was being exhaled by these creatures was enormous. You know, think about this. Hydrogen, 4% concentration is flammable.
Yes.
These guys and gals were exhaling something about like 10%. Okay. So what does any of this have to do with belching or gas or flatus? Well, it turns out Secor has this really great theory that early man would stumble across, say, a python that had just, or was in the middle of digesting a gazelle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you know, the python would be useless in trying to defend itself.
Correct, yeah.
Easy food.
It's just eating this huge meal, bloated. It's not going to immediately run off.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have room for another one.
Right, so early man says, easy food. I've got dinner tonight. I have two things for dinner tonight, right?
Yeah.
I think that Mary Rich had described it as Neanderthal turducken. Okay, so early man or woman hauls us off to a campsite. There's a fire. Someone is being, you know, joyful, and they begin to, say, step on this python's head, or they kick it. And what happens? A huge flood of this hydrogen just rolls out of the mouth, meets the fire, and then...
And there you have a fire-breathing reptile.
Yeah. So Secor says, think about this, thousands and thousands of years of these tales of bringing down a fire-breathing giant to your campsite.
Because I could see, on one hand, someone could be like, whoa, that thing can breathe fire. I was really lucky that I didn't get toasted back there. Or they'd see what happened and they'd realize, well, this thing doesn't actually breathe fire, but it sure did look like it, and I'm going to claim that it does because I look all the more awesome for having killed it, slayed it.
Right. And if fast forward, you know, 50,000 years to modern humans and 8-year-olds all around campfires trying to light their farts, right? We have a long tradition of this relationship with gas and man.
Yeah. Anybody who's read Mary Roach's Packing for Mars book about the space program and human space exploration knows that there's a lot of scatological content in here, because you're talking about sending humans and their digestive systems up into a strange environment that doesn't necessarily play by the rules, and at the very least is contained within a very small space. And inevitably, you have astronauts that are going to pass gas. And I believe it was measured out to be like 3 Coke cans worth of gas is coming out. So there were a couple of interesting bits there involving NASA research. One was a quest by Edwin Murphy, in an attempt to find what the ideal fart profile for an astronaut would be.
Sure.
And basically, they wanted little or no methane or hydrogen, because as we just touched on, hydrogen is explosive, and methane is not desirable either. But in his work, this guy Murphy had apparently encountered one ideal astronaut candidate. And this is the quote: "Of special interest for further research was the subject who produced essentially no flatus on 100 grams dry weight of beans, as opposed to the average gut, which will, during a peak of flatulence period, 5 to 6 hours post-bean consumption, pass anywhere from 1 to almost 3 cups of flatus per hour." So that is particularly interesting, not only because NASA, you know, wants that ideal fart profile for an astronaut, or mm-hmm. or that, you know, you would, given the chance, but that there are individuals that are almost non-farters, which is interesting.
It is amazing to me, because, I mean, presumably, again, everybody does this. And I do think it's very kind of NASA, by the way, to try to recruit people who don't do it so much. Mm-hmm. Because as we discussed in our Emotions in Space episode, it can get dicey up there. And if you're next to someone who keeps putt-putting, you know, for 6 months straight, that can make things very tense. So let's talk about a fart. What is it?
Well, basically, the act of farting, of course, is the means by which the body rids the colon of unwanted gas, and by virtue of that unwanted pressure. You have this gas that builds up, and the average person releases between 500 and 2,000 milliliters of this per day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what does it consist of? Well, about 99% of it is carbon dioxide, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and methane, and again, varying degrees of that depending on the particular fart profile.
Yeah, because some people don't produce methane.
Correct.
Right?
I think it's like only 1/3 of us produce methane.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and most of these gases are either swallowed inadvertently when you're eating your food, mm-hmm. or released from the food as it is digested. And it's amazing because when it's in your body, it is odorless, and we don't think of it as being odorless, right?
Right. And the other key thing, that 99% of the ingredients that I just listed, mm-hmm. that 99% is odorless. All the hydrogen, the methane, the oxygen, all of it, that is not the odor-producing content. It is that 1% that is responsible for the smell.
Yeah, we'll get to that 1% in a bit.
Yeah.
It's been such a political term these days, 1%, that it's kind of funny to...
It's 1% that's stinking up the whole system.
Exactly. So, as you had mentioned, yeah, we do expel quite a bit of it, but the man who inspired really thoughtful study of how much we expel, and even excessive gas, is a man who in 1976 complained of a 5-year epic bout of the toots. He he contacted gastroenterologist Michael Levitt, and in order to study the man, Levitt had to create a baseline of normal flatus output, or flatus, I should say. He recruited volunteers to keep flatographic logs, logs of gas activity, recording every stirring and every output. He prefers that, actually. But he did, and others have relied on studies that use a rectal tube and collection syringes to determine average output. That is ye old way of trying to figure out how much people are expelling.
The collection tube. So basically the farting in a jar scenario.
Yeah, but a little bit more foolproof and okay. A lot more going on. And the syringe is there just to extract the molecules and then to figure out what sort of molecules are in there. These days, hydrogen output is measured in the breath because a fixed percentage of hydrogen produced in the colon is absorbed into the blood. And when it reaches the lungs, it's exhaled. Now, what he found was that this man was passing gas 34 to 42 times a day. Okay, the baseline average here of the human who doesn't have any lactose intolerance problems is about 14 to 20 times a day, in case you're wondering. So the problem that they finally figured out is that he was lactose intolerant.
Okay.
And as we learned before, lactose does not get broken down for some people in the small intestines, hangs out in the colon. And then you have other bacteria, which are breaking that down. And then you've got the waste product of that bacteria. And you've got a bunch of hydrogen being produced there.
Yes. Of course, we are talking about humans as a whole in regards to flatus. But you can't help but get into gender scenarios when you start thinking about it. In fact, one of the articles that we were looking at the author made a point of saying that men as a whole, and she's really generalizing here and painting with a very broad brush, and I scolded her for it, that all men are just enthusiastic about their gas and just love it and crave it and laugh at it all the time.
Bottle it.
Yeah, and bottle it for like, I am not one of those men. Like, maybe that is the more baseline, relationship between man and fart, but I, for my own self, don't engage that style of humor for the most part. I will laugh at a fart joke if it is well crafted, or in some way, you know, insightful. There have been, occasionally they'll get me. Like, for instance, there was a Sarah Silverman Show episode that was very fart heavy.
Yeah, she likes the farts.
Yeah, and occasionally that will work on me. If it's the right fart joke. But as a whole, I do not, I'm more of a stereotypical, if you're going to go with these stereotypes, I'm more of a stereotypical, woman when it comes to fart gags and self gas production than a stereotypical man.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that you don't have a cellar full of jarred farts.
No, I do not.
Okay. All right. This is good. And it's interesting that you bring up the stereotypes because, you know, if this were the Victorian age, we would say, oh, well, women just don't produce gas at all.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't even be a question. But we do have data on it. And it turns out that women have or seem to be expelling more gas than men as measured by the hydrogen exhaled. But Mary Roach questions this and says, in her book, could it be that the suppression of gas could lead to a higher input of hydrogen exhalation?
So maybe if you're going with the stereotypical, I almost don't want to say stereotypical female, but let's go with if you're going with a fart avoidant person like myself, then they are going to be less inclined to just let it rip whenever the mood hits them.
Right. So if you suppress it, then you're going to absorb more of it through your bloodstream.
Okay.
And then you're going to exhale more.
So
that's the idea.
So in a way, you're kind of reversing it and farting into your body.
Yeah.
Into
just,
your bloodstream.
You're just breath farting.
Oh, okay.
Right. And that makes it really a lovely thought, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Think about that next time you give your significant other a nice little kiss.
Yeah. I should add one point about ladies and farting. I did work at a newspaper once, and an individual in the front office was terminated for engaging in a farting contest with a customer. It was
but
quite
a
scandal.
I understand, but it seems like it was mutual farting. So I guess it was just like, hey, this is we're going to make an example of you. We just don't fart with the customers.
Maybe, you know, there could have been some other politics involved, or maybe it was just kind of this unwritten rule where if your customer comes in and celebrates his or her farts, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then you are not supposed to then engage with them in a contest of farts or, you know, it's kind of like it's okay if the customer uses foul language to a point, but you're then not supposed to engage them in that kind of behavior, I guess. Or maybe she showed him up. Maybe she shamed him, and they lost a customer because of it.
Was this a gastroenterology office?
No, this was a newspaper. We didn't even have a flatus section, you know, just business and sports.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that I can recover from that story. I feel like I need time to think about that and chuckle. But we must go on, so I'm just going to chuckle about that later. All right, so let's talk about this 1%.
Yes.
Or should we take a break?
Let's take a break. Why not? When we come back, we will discuss the 1% of the fart that is responsible for the smell. We'll talk about extraordinary cases of flatus. We'll talk about people who have elevated passing gas to an art form. And also the big question, if you're in microgravity, can you propel yourself across a spaceship just by virtue of your own flatus?
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, we're back. So, as we've discussed, 99% of flatus is carbon dioxide, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and methane. And these are coming from stuff that either gases that are inadvertently swallowed or it's released from the food as we're digesting it, but none of it produces the signature odors, and it varies, certainly, as we can all attest to. None of these elements contribute to the odor. It's just a tiny 1% that makes the gas so foul.
That's right. That creates that singular bouquet of smell. Microbes really live for the most part in the colon, where they attack and consume undigested food and in turn generate their own waste products. So in the case of microorganisms, waste usually means gas. And in the case of these microorganisms, that gas can be the really ripe stuff, usually molecules containing sulfur, like dimethyl sulfide, and methanethyl. These are waste products that ferment and they build up to a sufficient level and then they're released with the rest of the gas in the bowels. And by the way, we talked about this before, the birth of a fart happens when, your stretch receptors, in your colon send a signal to your brain, hey, I'm having some discomfort. Mm-hmm. And then the sphincter is loosened up and...
And the message may be, when you get a chance, please do something about this. Or True. It may be, this is really important, so the next time you even have like a heavy thought in the back of your head, we're going to just go ahead and let it go.
Even a heavy, yeah, that's right. The brain will sit there and respond and say, okay, now you got to tamp it down. Sorry, sphincter.
Yeah.
Or, yep, we're overloaded here. All right, so what brave soul figured out the scent profile of Flatus? Well, the same Michael Levitt who helped to determine the output of Flatus also studies the qualities of gas, these smell profiles. He recruited volunteers to detect the three main elements of a fart. So hydrogen sulfide, which is described as the scent of rotten eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Methanethiol, that is described as rotting vegetation. And dimethyl sulfide, which is oddly described as sweet.
Hmm.
Yes. So he didn't do this as a cruel joke. I mean, he wasn't just trying to, you know, terrorize people with smells. He wanted to see if the noxiousness of the scent would correlate with the combined concentrations of these three types of sulfur gases. And it did.
Hmm.
So the best part of this, all this information, is he took the data and he reverse engineered a fart so he could use the combined concentrations in other scenarios.
Would it be safe to call this a Frankenfart?
Yes.
Yes.
It would be. Absolutely. It's a Frankenfart, and he wanted to figure out the absorptive properties of charcoal underpants or seat pads, which, by the way, is of interest to the airline industry.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes sense, right? I think that I say go, airline industry, put charcoal in those seat pads. I think
any degree
to
which you can cut down on the... on the amount of flatus in that enclosed space on a long flight, the better.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of a long flight or a spacewalk, NASA actually has used filters in the air circulation in spacesuits with charcoal to help bind sulfur and then prevent the astronauts from getting drive-by farted every time the air is recirculated.
Yeah, because if they build up enough, a long enough spacewalk, then fart madness ensues.
I've heard about fart madness.
No, it is interesting. There are a lot of... I was looking on Snopes to see if there were any particular urban legends related to farting of note. And one of them was this bit that occasionally circulates in emails about a man who died because he farted under the covers and had the covers up over his head. But that's just complete malarkey.
That's just a Dutch oven.
Yes. Yeah, so death by Dutch oven, not really a thing.
Yeah, and you can't try to, I mean, just for fun, Dutch oven astronauts, right?
No. Though, I mean, they go through enough in the training. I'm sure they were like, you know, after you've been in that spinny thing long enough, then, I mean, we've all seen the right stuff. They went through a lot of horrible things to prove themselves and to get their bodies in shape and prepare themselves for this this experience in orbit. So,
and keep in mind that the air in their spacesuits is actually recirculated three times a minute. So,
now... another interesting bit from Mary Roach's book, Packing for Mars. She talked to an astronaut by the name of Roger Crouch, and he was particularly interested in the idea of propelling yourself through a microgravity environment, like aboard the space station, via your own farts. And he said that the mass and velocity of the expelled gas is very small compared to the mass of the human body. So he tested it out, found that it produced no real effect, though he did have this theory that the underpants... and the pants might be prohibiting the expulsion of gas. But he did not get to test this naked. But he apparently has lingering thoughts that that nude farting in microgravity would potentially give you at least a little push across the cabin.
Yeah, that really is not going to win the hearts and minds of your fellow astronauts in space if you just drop trow. And then try to propel yourself with your own farts.
Can you imagine the dude who's doing like the crying in space videos and all the different viral videos?
Colonel Hadfield?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's on board for this. That's going to be a big shock when that YouTube video rolls out.
That might be the one that never really makes it to YouTube, right? So, though, if you were going to do that experiment without underpants and really truly test it, you would want to eat the gaseous inducing foods that you could. And it turns out that the most eruptive edibles are beans, carrots, raisins, bananas, which is odd to me, onions, not odd, milk and milk products. For the very reasons that we talked before about milk being hard to digest and break down, as opposed to something like, let's say, meat, fish, grapes, berries. These have the least amount of complex carbohydrates.
It's this this really damning conundrum that I have encountered, and that I think a number of people encountered, that the healthier that you try to eat, you know, you're trying to eat all these vegetables and these whole grains and, you know, and lentils and beans, and it's making you gassier, and you feel like you're being punished for this diet. Dr. Robert Lustig even put it this way. He said, "In life, you have two choices. It's either fat or fart." So
yeah, it's true. Like, if you were to radically change your diet from, say, a meat and a very little vegetable diet to grains and vegetables, you would really need to set aside a couple of days to transition into that. I kid you not.
Well, there's that great Portlandia sketch where they go to the restaurant that has the raw food. It's like an all raw food place, and they actually have a flatus patio with fans.
The fart patio. That is just one of my favorite things. One of those. That clip is just great because it's not hearty horror laugh, but it kind of speaks to that whole experience when you do go to a raw foods restaurant or a vegan restaurant.
Yeah.
And the result of that afterwards, they just kind of brought it more to the forefront.
Yeah, it's a clever bit of parody there and commentary. So that is a fart gag that I at least chuckled at.
Sure, because really, when you get down to it, every restaurant should have a fart patio.
Now, as we mentioned before, you have a very rare individual, like the individual that NASA uncovered, who barely farted at all.
It's just one person in the world.
The one person, a mutant that barely produces any flatus. But then there is another side to that coin as well. They're the super farters, the extraordinary flatulent individuals that make life so interesting.
There's this thought that some people have types of bacteria that produce more sulfur than other people. So that could be part of it. Diet is certainly part of it.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as we mentioned earlier, some people are going to have different concentrations of hydrogen and methane. So some people are going to be more explosive, which is, and I feel like we've discussed this before, but it's more of a serious issue when there's some sort of surgical procedure going on, with the colon, in which you're going to have to cauterize wounds with a heat element.
Mm-hmm.
That heat element plus hydrogen and methane that's built up, that can have literally an explosive reaction, which is not good for anybody involved in that procedure.
Now, I believe there's an Ig Nobel Prize that was given out for this, right?
Yeah, that's where we discussed it before.
But normally we say it's really very funny stuff, but this one study was very serious, because it was like, you know what, if you are doing this procedure on someone, if someone has a polyp and you're removing it, you don't want them to explode and die.
Right.
So that's one of the things that doctors have been really cognizant of. And these days they actually pipe in a little air, and air that doesn't have flammable carbon dioxide as well, to try to dilute any methane or hydrogen that might be left over. Although, for anybody who's gone to the gastroenterologist and had one of these procedures, like a colonoscopy, then you know that there's a lot of prep work ahead of time to try to remove anything that might antagonize or create a spark in your rectum. Another aspect of flatus in the medical community is that it can actually be used as a disease fighter.
Really?
Sort of. I mean, it's more like a canary in the coal mine. So doctors can actually identify tough-to-spot viral or bacterial infections of the gut in someone's gas.
Huh.
So what they do is they just perform this test where they collect a stool sample and then they try to take the gases. They extract those gases from a smart needle, and then they figure out the flatus molecules. And the machine then will analyze these molecules and tell you what the infection is. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with The Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out The Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
When discussing the various smell profiles of human flatus and ultimately human waste, I keep coming back to horse excrement. Because really, if you've smelled horse excrement, it's really the best excrement out there. You know, like if you had to be around a bunch of poop all day, it's really hard to go wrong with horse.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, or used to work at a zoo, so you know that there were various odors related to different animals' leavings, and some of them were more pleasant than others.
Well, yeah, it was funny because I worked in the administrative building, but the keepers would come in, and they had all sorts of smell molecules stuck to their bodies. So they might have been working with the zebras that day. Who knows? But they passed by the elephants, and that took it all down.
Yeah, so the elephants, not a good smell profile.
Yeah, no.
Okay. But the horse, I think, is a good smell profile.
So, what do you think about the flatus artists?
Yes.
Do you think they're even concerned with the scent profile?
Well, it's interesting because first of all, I should back up and say that I was not aware of this until about a year ago. I was recovering from wisdom tooth removal, and I was on pain pills. And I was reading the book Madeline is Sleeping by Sarah Schoenlein Bynum, which is a very dreamy book anyway. Mm-hmm. It's like a dream within a dream with all the surreal stuff happening. And then on top of that, I was a little loopy from everything else that was going on. But one of the characters that shows up is a fart artist, if you will, or a flatist, or a flatuist.
But not a flatist.
not a flautist. That's something different entirely. But it turns out there's one individual that was of particular note, and this was a Frenchman whose real name was Joseph Pujol, lived 1857 through 1945, but his stage name was Le Petomane. And he was known for having remarkable control over his abdominal muscles, and he seemed to be able to just fart at will, just nonstop, just well beyond the 3 Coke cans of flatus that any normal individual could muster. But there was a secret to what he could actually do. He had, again, phenomenal control over the muscles down there, particularly the anal sphincter muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And he could actually inhale air through the sphincter,
mm-hmm.
And then release it. So it wasn't that he was releasing gas that was built up as part of this natural farting process that we've discussed in mm-hmm. this episode. Rather, he was inhaling air into the rectum and then releasing it again.
Wow. So we talked about reverse feeding in our last podcast.
Reverse breathing in a way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you've ever been, generally you'll occasionally encounter a kid who's doing this where they'll burp over and mm-hmm. over again because they're inhaling the air and then they're burping, inhaling the air and then burping. He was doing the same thing, but with his bottom.
I would love to tell some stories about my family, but I don't think that would be correct. All I can say is that I think maybe in past generations we've had some fartists.
Excellent.
So anyway, on that note, we should probably bring closure to this.
Yes. Let's call over the robot.
Oh, Arnie,
well,
really?
Well, that was a robotic fart.
I know, but really, I mean, I thought this was a really classy episode on farts, and here Arnie had to come and stink up the joint.
It doesn't really smell. I mean, it smells like a train passing in a subway or something, you know, kind of that ozone
smell.
That bad. Yeah, not still that bad, really. But don't do it again. Okay, here's some mail from our robot. This one is from Adam. Adam writes in, he's responding to our episode Eaten Alive, where we talked about the prospect of being swallowed whole by a sperm whale. And he says, okay, let's say I was swallowed whole by a whale. I'm alive and uninjured in the pre-stomach. The situation looks grim, but alas, all hope is not lost, because how did I get there? I was inspecting a gaping maw of a giant whale while scuba diving. I have a full tank of air and a very sharp dive knife, as does any diver worth his salt, and a healthy desire to live. What are my chances of jabbing and slicing my way to freedom?
Ugh. Slim to none?
Well, yeah, it's a tough one, because certainly those the squid that are being swallowed by the sperm whale, they have rather tough beaks. So
but they don't have any bones otherwise, so they can kind of, they're sort of gelatinous in the way that they can contort their bodies.
Yeah, but they could they have the ability to use that beak on the predator. They are able to use their little suction cups with the sharp things, and then you see the scars on the sides of sperm whales where they've suckered and picked at them.
Well, that creates the amber geese, right?
Then of course once they pass the beaks on, they as we discussed in that episode, end up scarring the side of the intestinal wall. So
I feel like if you were to try to use that knife and fight your way out, that's going to cause the sperm whale to really gnash its teeth even more.
Yeah.
And chaos would ensue.
Yeah.
Now, if it hasn't already.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, I mean, certainly you're not going to cut your way out.
No.
I guess the only possibility here was if you somehow create enough of a disturbance to where it vomits you.
Oh, right. Yeah. If you could just stick your finger down its throat.
Yeah, or I think Pinocchio escaped they started a little fire, right? And the smoke mm-hmm. builds up, and then the creature sneezes everyone free. So this is obviously you're not going to start a fire in there.
No.
But if you were to stab away and start stabbing the sides, would you possibly be able to get the sperm whale to spit you up?
Well,
I tend to doubt it.
If you had a little pocket of poison, but then you're going to expose yourself to that poison as well, right? I'm trying to think of ways that you could make it regurgitate.
Hmm.
No, no, no. I bet you guys out there might have some ideas.
Yeah, think it over. I would like to hear some people's thoughts on that. And hey, man, you know, if we get a spare moment here and there, maybe I'll try and contact an expert on this.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Someone who's survived being swallowed by a whale. Yeah.
All right, there you go. Everything you may or may not have wanted to know about cutting the cheese, breaking the wind, crop dusting, farting, latest, my friends. If you would like to know more about some of the episodes that we create, and I'm talking about podcast episodes as well as video, make sure that you visit stufftoblowyourmind.com. You will find everything under the sun related to what we do there. You can also visit us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you have an email, you want to share some of your latest thoughts with us, we're not scared. You can do that at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.